Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All
right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92. There's too much stuff going on. Did you see this Chance Comanche? This video. He was a Kings. Apparently, he was a Kings prospect and Sacramento Kings. He was with the Stockton Kings, an NBA G League team. He and his girlfriend killed another girl, allegedly.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Followed her into her car and strangled her. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Can't we just get along? Why are we doing stuff like
this? Can we just not kill so much?
Yeah.
Can we stop killing guys?
That's just. Come on. Let's stop it. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big stories. Cougs, number one seed. They play Longwood and then either Nebraska or Texas A&M. Down the line, in the Sweet
Aggies
16, they're going to have Duke or Wisconsin. And then potentially Marquette.
Who the Aggies have?
The Aggies got Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Aggies won that one.
Aggies are playing good.
Aggies are playing good. Aggies scare me a little bit for Houston. Yeah. I mean, after the Iowa State game, I've got a little PTSD because it is weird to see a team like Houston win shooting as poorly as they do, to win at the level that they do. But now that you've lost one of your top players, your best young player, and then you don't shoot well, and now you're going to the tournament. God, the Iowa State game. I mean, they shot lights out from three. Absolute lights out, which really concerns me because if somebody gets hot from three, I don't know how Houston wins.
You just got to. But here's the deal is, what scares me is a team that's dominant inside. And nobody, I stood next, and his name is Jaywan, by the way, Jaywan Roberts. We learned yesterday. I was with him, and I was kind of – he's not all that tall. He's really not that tall. His physicality and what he's done here at the University of Houston and the guys that he has to guard and that he's up against night in and night out, he's doing an incredible, incredible job. They really, really are going to – I think they're going to suffer with somebody with the team because they've been getting beat badly on the boards. They got beat. They got beat in every game on the offense, on the defensive board side. Too many offensive rebounds by the opposing teams. Some of them are balls that are hitting the rim and bouncing up and outside. So the offensive team is getting them. But they have a real problem with size right now because they've got all the injuries that they've got. I talked to Jamal. I asked Jamal Shedd yesterday what how his teammates responded on the plane home and yesterday before they got to the selection of the number one seed, and what's the aftermath of the Iowa State loss.
You know, we put it behind us, and we've been focused on what's next. We had a team meeting today just about the selection show and what it means and what's next from us. And I think we just started to lock in and mentally prepare already.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't think it's a bad thing what happened to him. I really don't. I think it's a huge wake-up call. If they had lost a close game, it would have been awfully difficult. This was an embarrassment, and this was where we got to get back to work, guys. And you know what? They're going to pay attention to Kelvin this week because this is it. This is the legacy of these guys. They've got six games possibly to play, Every single one of them now is going to define their legacy, whether or not they get to the Sweet 16, whether or not they get to the Final Four. And they got a wake-up call on Saturday, a big wake-up call. If they had to cruise through it, dominating Iowa State like they dominated Tech and TCU, then it would have been like, oh, look how good we – now they're going – they're getting back to work. And Jawan is going to practice. Kelvin said, oh, he – oh, no, no, he's going to practice. But Samson also said the hardest thing about all these injuries – first of all, Ramon Walker might come back. But the hardest thing about all these injuries is practice. They've got nobody to practice against with size. Sed Loth is the only guy. Sed Loth has to guard Roberts and Francis if they're going to play the starters against the second team. The only guy with size is Sed Loth.
Do we not have any former NBA players who can just come in and just give some bodies? Yeah. Somebody who lives here in Houston. Yeah, some sure. former NBA players do.
That's not a bad idea. I was imagining. Yeah,
really isn't. Just to kind of give him a little run through. Doesn't even have to be hard. Just somebody with some size. Is Tyson Chandler playing basketball on the? He's done, right? Could he live here just randomly? Basketball players live in Houston randomly.
Yes,
you see him at golf courses.
Well, I see.
That's how you used to see.
I see Gerald Green on my TV. Get out there, Gerald, and help the team.
What about Nick Van Exel? Remember when you used to see him?
He doesn't have size though.
No, but that's an example.
He's got a bowling alley at.
But that's an example of a random NBA player who lived in Houston.
Right. He had a bowling alley at, Royal Oaks.
Okay.
Yeah.
He owned it?
He owned the house on the...
bowling alley at the house.
At
he didn't have an apartment off of, like, Fountain View or something?
No, he actually had a beautiful home with a bowling alley.
If Drake, can you imagine? You're going to have to save your money. This isn't going to last forever, Drake. You need to stop buying these big, expensive houses and get something more sensible. Maybe a furnished apartment.
Well, I think Drake's going to be okay. We'll see.
No, the Cougs, that is a real issue. When the Cougs' whole game is built on intensity and you can't have intense practices because people are hurt, you don't want anyone else hurt. So if you're playing through pain, if you're playing through, I don't want to say an injury, but you're playing with pain, Kelvin has to be very careful about practice. Has to be very careful. And yet your whole game is, let's face it, the team's entire game is trying to turn you over, play with intensity, play in your face. And that's hard to practice with that level of intensity throughout the year, I think.
Right. But they are going to this week, especially after what happened. There's no question about that. 713-780-3776. Martin wants to get in here and talk some sports. What do you say, Martin?
Excuse me, but I thought this show was an ally, and y'all haven't talked women's basketball at all. So what's up with that, fellas?
Excuse me.
Texas gets a number one seed. Mm-hmm. South. Listen, the women's tournament. If you go back and look at the Final Four, there might be 1-2 in there, 1-2 seed.
It mostly ones,
it is
occasional twos, and that's it.
It's chalk.
Yeah.
That's basically the women's tournament, which is, Well, good luck to Texas. They're a number one seed. Congratulations. Maybe LSU is going to get there. We'll see whether or not LSU can get there because they're more talented, I think, than they played this year. But South Carolina is so dominant. Holy crap. That is a good basketball team. That is a
dominant.
Really good. Dominant. But yeah.
Do you think LSU will have a fist fight with South Carolina at any point during the tournament?
Oh, gosh, would that be fun?
Like, not even with teams. Like, maybe if they just see each other, a regional, just start scrapping in the stands. Kim Mulkey is out there kicking, pulling hair. Is there any? I feel like there's a chance that they could fight somebody on site. I feel like Kim Mulkey. Do you think Kim Mulkey has ever used the phrase on site, Dell?
No.
I
don't think she. No, that's a little bit beyond her prime.
She's heard her teammates say it's on site.
But
if
she's
I see
country.
Her.
I don't know if she's saying on site. I think she would say something else.
Okay,
she'd be polite, but it's fake politeness because that feels like Kim Mulkey's bag. And then she would say something very southern and down home, but all it means is I'm going to punch you in the face if you don't back up.
What does on site mean?
It's pretty much as soon as I see you, we're going to fight. It's pretty much what it means.
Oh,
it's on site. Means as soon as you see somebody, they're going to fight.
That's Saquon and Tiki?
Well, yeah. he didn't go that far.
He did he say, said, don't be.
But he didn't say it's on site.
Give me that fake smile, he told him.
Right, right. But on site is a very, like, our man Tony, our guy Concept Mayhem, he already said it's on site with somebody that you and I both know if he ever sees this person.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's what me.
I don't know if it's still on site, but it was on site. He did put it in on site designation.
How long ago?
And, this was several years ago. He's, I don't want to give too much away. I'll tell you guys during a break.
That's me and Yanni on site. As soon as I see his ass.
You guys are in a group.
Yanni?
You guys are in a group where one guy buys another guy jeans. So you guys aren't fighting.
We'll go. No, we'll go. 713-780-3776.
It's on site with Dell and a spicy chicken sandwich.
I'm not going to fight it.
LeShane sees Dell?
Yeah, it's on site with him.
It's on site with him.
All that slander. You're talking about something he doesn't even have.
Well, he tried it, and he realized he was doing a bad job.
Chicken sandwich during a pandemic when people are doing drive-thrus. Say, hey, tell that bozo that I don't have chicken sandwiches anymore.
Yeah, because he tried it, and it was
wrong.
Wow.
And you never even had it.
Wow. If he's using some spicy chipotle aioli for it, then I know it's terrible.
Egregious. Time to talk about Craig Step up,
infuse
Day.
That thing.
Craig DeSurf. Of the serfdom. I don't know exactly what the last name means. I think it means car experience because he has been experienced in the car industry. The great thing about him is when he worked at David Taylor, where he was a gen. I actually spent a lot of time, my son Alec and I, when Alec was going shopping for his first car, he just got a new Buick Envision. And I've been telling you guys about this deal, and it was phenomenal. I mean, the lease option we got for 39 months was absolutely incredible, but it's available to everyone right now, so you should check it out. But I was talking to Craig about his experience. He was a really good bodybuilder, and he was living in California hanging out with Lee Labrada, and he'd see Schwarzenegger in gyms and stuff like that. He's got some amazing stories. But he came back, and David Taylor, Mr. Taylor, wanted him to come sell cars, and right off the bat, Craig was incredible. And what made him incredible, it's not being a pushy person. It's being someone who cares about what the car buyer wants. Because that's ultimately what people want, is they want to get a new car, but they don't want you in their business. They don't want you always pressuring them. And so when he has people sell cars for him at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton right now, it is always going to be the same thing. You are going to care about what the car buyer wants. You're going to look for deals that they want, whether it's lease or purchase. You don't push anything that you want to push on them. This is about their experience. And that's what's really truly made the difference, why their customer service satisfaction is always top of the food chart. Like, it's the very best in car buying year in and year out, and all the dealerships in and around the city of Houston. Experience it for yourself. You can start the experience online at LanceZCars.com, but more trade-in value, better incentives, and the selection and the service that you have come to expect from a top-end dealership like Gulf Coast Chevy GMC and Buick. They will take care of you. Make sure that your next vehicle comes from the Angleton store at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. What a big weekend. I'm going to tell you what. Cougs, great. I mean, it wasn't great with Iowa State. But the Rockets are playing great. And you know what? It does beg the question, and people are asking it now. Why are they playing so well without Alpe?
Yeah, but, well, one of the reasons is because
I'm not saying that they're a better team without Alpe, but they're just playing better.
Because you change everyone's role a little bit. The problem is, I don't think it's the right collection of players. So, and I don't think this team is better subtracting Alper and Şengün, not in the long run. So I just think that when you think about it, okay, Jalen Green takes on a little different role now, right? Because the ball doesn't go to Alperen as much. So do you want to tell me you want to stick with Jalen Green ball and just move on from Alperen Sengun? Because can you truly – you could do this, but you're done. Okay, you're done. You're locked in. If you pay your two – if you have two max dollar guys, those are your two superstars you're building around. You don't have a lot of freedom after that. So are you good with Alperen and Jalen as your two superstars at max dollar deals?
Listen, doing it against Washington is one thing. Doing it against the Cavs is another. They played great basketball against the Cavs.
Yeah, they did.
There is a reason that it's more free-flowing right now. And maybe it's because Amen is on the court more. I don't know.
I think Jalen is just playing really good ball.
Jalen's playing great.
Jalen's playing really good ball. And
but
yes,
you know what? Jabari was filling it up as well. Amen was filling it up as well. Van Vliet, 16 assists, one turnover.
Dude, go look.
The game before was even better.
Go look at Amen Thompson's rebounds every game.
Yeah.
Rebounds, steals.
Well, not only his, but Jalen's too. Because, yeah. And that was the conversation at halftime between Vanessa and one of the assistant coaches, is why is Jalen so, and look at the rebounds that Jalen's getting. And the coach said, we know that Jalen is playing well when he's rebounding. He's more focused because he seems to be in the right positions. We know that he is on his game at his best when he's rebounding. And he had 11 boards against the Cavs. 11 led the team in rebounds. Jalen, a guard. Amen with 8. Those were the top two. The top two rebounders.
But Amen's box score every game, blocks, steals, rebounds. Hustle plays, all the hustle plays. You go look at his game log, and I guarantee you, you just see numbers that say hustle plays, hustle plays. And it facilitates transition plays. It facilitates second shots. Like, when you have Amen Thompson is a plus player. Like, he's going to be a plus player. When he's on the court, good things are going to happen more than when he's not on the court. This is going to end up being a great pick by Rafael Stone. A great pick.
I think it helps to have Fred VanVleet, because here's the deal. Amen had zero assists the other day. He had so many gimmies with Fred VanVleet running the offense. And, you know, maybe Alpi not being there has opened up the inside. Do you know how many dunks they had? Mm-hmm. Do you know how many chippies they had? Because the lane wasn't clogged, it really did. Amen, he had 18 points on 8 of 11 shooting. It was because everything was around the basket. He didn't even take a three.
I want to balance out how great this is and how fun it is. What I don't want is people to start making dumb assumptions that, well, maybe they just don't need any big and just play a free flow. It's going to lose. That's what.
Yeah,
it's going to be losing football. Losing basketball. You've got to have Alperen Sengun, and you either have to find the right way. I just think it's going to be hard to have Whitmore, Van Vliet, Amen, Jalen Green, Alperen Sengun, Jabari, Dylan Brooks. Like, you subtract one of those players out, and everyone gets a little bit more of everything.
Well, Whitmore hasn't been there. Alpi hasn't been there.
Which is a good thing, right? And that's giving these guys more of a chance to get. Like, I just think that it's like having three running backs, but none of them can get enough carries to get into a rhythm.
Yep.
I think that's part of the problem, and I don't think the solution is subtracting Alperen Sengun in the long term. That guy has MVP caliber talent.
That's not going to happen. That's not happening. It's just interesting to see how well they're playing right now.
And Jalen has just been terrific, and I look at Jalen as, look, he's either really helping his trade, either really helping the Rockets' trade value, or he is potentially giving Ime something to think about in terms of how he wants this team to look moving forward. Because maybe it is with Jalen Green being the number two guy, the clear-cut number two guy. And Fred VanVleet's not going to be here for less. Look, the Rockets can get away from Fred VanVleet after next year. Amen Thompson. So all of a sudden, now you got Amen Thompson, Jalen Green. Now, is Amen a guy that can – I watch a lot of reels, John, and I watch a lot of – Dale, you watch reels sometimes,
I
right?
I don't.
And TikToks?
It's not my thing,
I tell you who this team could use, who really sets people up, is white chocolate Jason Williams.
What?
if you could get White Chocolate out of retirement, the way that he sets people up for easy baskets, I saw a lot of
unlikely
greatest hits from him and a lot of highlight reel stuff. Maybe they need to go after, on a minimum deal, White Chocolate.
You think this team needs a 40-something-year-old point guard? Is that what you think would help the team?
Or Steve Nash was a good distributor, too.
They could use Steve Nash right now to coach
this, him. This version of Steve Nash? Or you mean like MVP Steve Nash?
Probably more like an MVP Steve Nash. And really, actually, I never wanted to have White Chocolate on my team because
The NBA champion, Jason Williams?
Wait. Who did he win an NBA championship
with? He was on the 2006 Miami Heat team that beat Dallas.
Oh, he was on that team. Did he start or come off the bench?
I believe he was the starting point guard.
Everyone has to rescue Dwayne Wade for him to win championships.
Yes, Jason. Yes.
Let's get Shaq and White Chocolate.
You mean the MVP of that final series, Dwayne Wade?
Because he had Shaq and White Chocolate. Let's get Chris Bosh. What a fake Chris, top 50 player Dwayne Wade was.
Yeah, I know you love Harden. We understand. Jason Williams made news most recently for telling Brian Windhorst he couldn't talk about Ja Morant in any way because of how fat Windhorst's neck was. He said, if your neck is as fat as that, you can't talk about basketball.
No, I never heard that.
Look at his neck. He can't criticize anyone.
I never heard look at his neck.
That's what he said.
That is true.
That man is Wendy. His name is Wendy. You're doing podcasts. That's Wendy. He's over there. Used to be best friends with LeBron.
What do we got for ship talk this week?
We got a lot of angry coaches.
Angry coaches.
Tom Crean about coaching, about actual coaches. Yeah. We've got.
He was mad about the NIT.
We've got Kim English talking about analytics. We've got Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, upset about a question. He criticizes how a reporter looks at one point in his 40 seconds ranting.
Why are all the media taking bullets now?
I don't know. The Rock does a song in Memphis and insults Ja Morant.
Oh, I watched it. I watch it. My son Snacks and Mahdi had it on for Raw.
And we've got someone who probably went to the John Granato School of Talking to Women.
Nice. He's going to be really nice to him.
Well, that's one approach.
Well, we'll get to that on the other side. But first, we got Underdog.
Underdog Fantasy is, hey, listen, I know you know the tournament is coming up. It's coming up this week. Did you know that you could have been playing every single game during the conference tournaments? You could have been playing Underdog with high or low on the Pick'em Challenge. On the Pick'em Challenge, first thing you do is you download the app at Underdog Fantasy. Download the app. And then you use promo code Lance, and you are going to use that promo code to sign up and make your first deposit. Your first deposit with promo code Lance is going to get you double the amount that you put in there, as low as $10, and goes up to $100. So if you put $100 in, you're going to have $200 sitting there for you to play with. You're not going to be able to just take it out. You got to play it. But, I mean, that's free money they're giving you. And why don't you use it to win even more? You can win 100 times your original play, and it's actually not that hard to get to the 100 times multiplier. You just have to get some of those boosters in there. You go with double-doubles. Is this player going to have a double-double? Is this player going to make a three-pointer? Is this player going to have, over 12.5 rebounds? And you go higher on those, and you hit those boosters, and you can get up to 100 times your original play, which is amazing. Make sure that you are playing along with your tournament games and your NBA games with our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 years or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for ship talk. Talking ship.
Yep. As we talked about before we went to break, a lot of coaches upset. Some of it has to do with the NCAA tournament. We'll hear from a couple guys on that. But we're going to start with Jurgen Klopp. is the manager for Liverpool. They were in the FA Cup, and I say they were in it because they lost to Manchester United in a really great match. Went to extra time. Man, you won it 4-3, I believe, was the final on that.
Liverpool sucks.
You're an Everton fan, so of course you hate them. But this is Jurgen Klopp, their manager. Liverpool's going to try to win like 4 or 5 titles. Well, they missed out on this one, and this is a reporter who was relatively reasonable asking him questions, and Jurgen Klopp didn't like it.
Normally, intensity is the name of your game, so how come it became so difficult in extra time?
A bit of a dumb question, I have to say, because when you see us that often, you can, if you never saw us, then you can ask how can they have more resources. We played, I don't know how many games recently, I don't know how many games United exactly played. That's sport. Yeah. I'm really disappointed about that question, but you thought obviously it's good.
So too many games, so
no, I don't think that. Ah, oh, come on. You are obviously not in a great shape, and I have no nerves for you.
And a question, okay, but are you really, what's wrong with you? What did you want now?
How come you're so provocative?
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
He just random, and the guy's not really out of shape, maybe compared to a soccer player, maybe, but.
You're not in the, and I don't have time for you.
Whatever. I don't think, why are you so provoked?
I don't think any question he asked was out of line.
No.
Liverpool's,
obviously, he's got some kind. He knows that guy.
I think
he doesn't,
it's
like
a bit
him
of a stupid question.
I don't like. I was like, wow. Relax.
But you thought it was good, yeah, but it is bad.
But obviously, you thought it was good, and look at porky. Your flawed ass, fat ass, porky.
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
If y'all hear that and you wonder where it came from, it's a self-help guru who was telling this to a child.
No, it wasn't. It was just a reporter.
It was a reporter?
It was on a morning show.
It was like a talk show or something.
Yeah, it was a morning show host. That's yeah, right.
The yeah kid's sitting there and he said, what do the kids on the playground call
and
you?
The guy, and the kid said, I don't know, chubby and that's porky.
And the guy just added on.
Yeah. Porky, he's like, do they call
hog,
you these things?
Fat ass, double wide, butterball.
Apparently, if you're a reporter asking Klopp a question after a tough loss.
You better be fit, as they say.
Yes.
Well, don't accuse
your fitness level better be high if you're going
to
ask a question.
Don't accuse his team of not being fit in the final stages of a match. We're going to move on to another coach. Kim English is the coach of Providence, the new coach. He took over Red Kulu.
You want to talk about Black Twitter now, Dell? Introduced me to Kim English, and you and I did some stuff.
Yes, we can get to that later if we so choose, but this is actually about basketball. Kim English was asked about the Big East only getting like 3 teams in the tournament,
which is a ripoff.
Which is certainly Big East people think so, as compared to other conferences. Here's Kim English being very matter of fact.
Yeah, I think the analytics are bull, right?
Yeah.
I think you could schedule bad teams in your non-league and beat the snot out of them and beat them by 50 and 60. And I think coaching for so long has been a gentleman agreement. I mean, you have a large lead at the end of the game. You know, for health reasons, you take guys out to get some other guys opportunities to play. You take guys out. But right now, it might be a change in college basketball where beating teams by 40, scheduling to beat teams by 40 and 50 might be a thing to do. But when you get into this league, the analytics aren't going to look very good in league.
Mm. So St. John's, Providence, Seton Hall all didn't make it. And the Big East is quite upset. They think their conference is really good.
Well, KenPom has it as the second best conference in the country.
And this is what they're complaining about. How can
and
it
they
be
only got three teams.
Be
and
the
all
best
three are top three or better seeds.
This is what we're saying. The top three are you really great. And you what? Who else are they playing?
Are you telling me that 13-7 Seton Hall? I read a piece. Indiana State got ripped off. Because they are the highest net
rating ever. Never
net rating ever that didn't make the
29,
tournament.
I think.
28.
28, okay.
But Seton Hall was thought to be the most egregious.
Yes.
So, I mean, I can certainly see he's a bit pissed.
Yes.
Yeah. He's gonna light people up next year.
Probably. Now we go to Tom Crean. Tom Crean no longer coaching, but he is active on ESPN. So he was on the shows yesterday. And he's calling out coaches who didn't make the NCAA tournament but are opting out of the NIT. Oklahoma did that. I think St. John's told, hey, don't invite us. Oklahoma did it as well. Here's Tom Crean on that subject.
There's no question about it. I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team.
You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing. Wow. And don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit down. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put five, six, seven people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
I agree with him. There's a lot of coaches that will accept bowls to lower bowls, and they're beneath them. But you know what? You get all that practice time as opposed to everybody just going away and not getting any better. You're going to get better if you're in the NIT. I mean, and especially I feel bad for the guys that are the seniors that are like, oh, wait, we could go and I could play some more and I get to play, but I'm done now. Is it because you don't feel like playing, coach?
Why don't you give your players a vote? This is player empowerment era. Just say, do you guys want to go or not?
No. If you don't want to go, listen, we're going to accept. And if you don't want, just like Tom Crean said, you don't want to play, then go. If we got five, six, seven guys, we'll go play.
But what if people opt out later, too? They say, you know what? I don't want to. Because remember that happened with Florida State in a bowl game? That a bunch of people, more and more players started opting out later and later, and then they got beat by 50 or whatever by Georgia.
Yeah, 60 what if you, or whatever it was, whatever.
What if you opt out later and later and later?
Well,
and
this all of is a sudden basketball, you go so that's different. Because they had enough players. Whether or not you'd have enough players is a question.
Then you start the NIT
pretty fast. But if the kid tells you, yeah, I want to play, then he's going to play. I mean,
yeah, the NIT starts before the tournament starts.
Yeah, it starts pretty fast.
So it starts Tuesday, right?
I think it might start the same day as the first four stuff.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh, I think it starts Tuesday, yeah.
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 So, I mean, and it's a home game or a road game.
Yeah, no right. one cares about the NIT.
I mean, you know what? No, but he's right. You're not getting better as a program by not playing. You're just not. You're not getting better.
But in this day and age of so much portal stuff, is this kind of going to become an old argument? Like, you need these extra practice for – it's like having an additional spring practice where we start making that argument for bowls. We're having the portal numbers are astonishing for these
well,
teams.
Well, regardless, the kid's getting better. Whether he's going to be at your school or somewhere else, the kid's getting better. The coach is getting – and if you're a head coach and don't want to coach, let your assistant coach. But you know what? I mean, I agree wholeheartedly with
you. How many teams have opted out of the NIT? Is
a bunch? Oklahoma, St. John's, they just said, hey, don't even invite us.
Yeah, because they're not trying to play in the NIT.
Why not?
The players probably want to – we want time off. We're trying to get back to class.
Well, we don't know that. We just know that they decided not to.
They're trying to get back to class.
Sure.
You're probably right.
They're not student athletes?
You know what? Those kids are probably like, man, I got so much to do right
well,
now.
Well, look at this. They've been jammed up because the conference tournament, they got papers that are due.
Yes,
you're coming up on the semester. They're like, well, coach, we're not going to
play again. Are we getting close to midterms?
I have no idea.
Past midterms.
We got a couple more here. We're going to go with The Rock. The Rock was in Memphis, and depending on what city he's in, he'll play to the crowd. But apparently he's in a heel face because he's going after Seth Rollins. I don't really know. I know who that is, but I don't know the context of this. He's going after Seth Rollins, and he somehow turns it into a Ja Morant insult.
No wonder that your wife's more popular than you.
This is about Seth Rollins.
You're so damn desperate to make them all cheer, but The Rock is gonna take that title, disappear. You're simply an embarrassment, son. Just like Ja Morant when he's waving a gun. I love you, Ja.
He's in Memphis, and he flash.
Says, I love you, Ja.
After he drops it.
Because he doesn't want to get shot
by his boys.
Somebody
else wrote that.
Well,
that's why.
Well, they put up on the big screen Ja with the gun.
It's a picture of Ja.
They did?
Yeah, he's doing this. Uh-huh. It's just a picture of Ja. And the fans started to laugh, but then some of them were kind of booing
him.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And they had a guy with a guitar and he had two young guys with a guitar and a harmonica there playing next to him. He went after Ja Morant.
And our final one here is, like I said, this might remind you of John if he was a representative. This is Republican. I got to find this guy's name. they're at it like just maybe Gene Dormick. He is a representative, and he's talking to – well, she'll tell you what she does, and then you'll hear him respond as if he didn't hear a word she said.
My name is Laura Hayner, and I'm a Minnesota resident and a Minneapolis-based pilot for Delta Airlines.
Ms. Hayner, is that correct?
Yes.
So can you tell me what a typical week – work week looks like for you as a stewardess? How does
I'm a first officer for Delta.
Pardon me?
I'm a pilot for
Delta. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry.
We know why you said it.
Wow.
We know why you said it.
She just told you pilot right in your face. By the way, they're not called stewardesses
well,
anymore.
Well, this is why it's almost
I don't
a representative of John, because he does that too.
Yeah.
I could see where he'd make that
mistake. Of course you would.
Sky waitresses.
Well, he's done that in the past, but stewardess is his go-to.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to know, like, oh, do you make the sandwiches first before the
she's
flight?
She's a pilot. She told you.
Well, if she was, a waitress.
But she's not a waitress. Listen, it's pretty clear.
My name is Laura Hayner, and I'm a Minnesota resident and a Minneapolis-based pilot for Delta Airlines.
Ms. Hayner, is that correct?
Yes.
So can you tell me what a typical week work week looks like for you as a stewardess?
What are we doing? John, that's you.
I guess not paying attention.
Not
at
all. He barely
didn't pay attention.
Did he
to her name?
Out the sandwich plan?
Listen, he barely knew.
How did you make these?
Point to the bread.
Yes. At what point? What?
What is
what
your
order
week like? Yeah.
Did you?
Do you decide multigrain
mayonnaise on first?
Sourdough.
What's a typical
Can
work
you tell
week?
Me the, Yeah. Do you like to put on your condiments one at a time, take them out of the refrigerator? Do you get everything out at the side?
What happens?
I'm sorry, I'm a pilot?
What happens when you get a seam in your stocking? Do you carry extras in your pantyhose? What happens?
I'm sorry, I'm a pilot.
Oh.
Okay, still even as a pilot. What do you like?
But you're not the first pilot, right? You're like
do you have time to take the kids to school, or you have a nanny?
That is a legitimate question as a pilot or as a stewardess.
Yeah, but when the man's flying the plane, do you help out the flight attendants just because when they need help? because I know you're not actually flying.
Right, you're a co-pilot.
Like, okay. If he needs to take a nap, maybe you take control, right?
No, I'm the primary. I am one of the primary pilots.
Couldn't possibly be.
Well, but did you work your way up from being a stewardess, or
I don't think that's
like what's that? Do you start at the lowest? Do you do baggage first and then stewardess?
I don't think that's how that works.
How does that work? No. No, you don't actually. It's not inter. It's not an inter aerospace program where you work your way up from flight handler. Did you ever have to work where they say,
okay, in flight 275, we're going to board 1K passengers and military personnel.
Did you ever do that?
I've always wondered, how did you keep those towels so fresh and hot? I fly the plane.
All right.
Why do I not have the ability to connect through internet on all of my flights? Like, what's the cutoff? And when do you serve first-class food? I've noticed that 2-hour and 20-minute flights, I'm not getting my food. It's just those snacks. And can you guys improve? I'm a pilot. Well, can you tell the stewardesses that I'd like better snacks than
we don't call them stewardesses, sir. That's not a name we use anymore.
Stewards. I'll be gender neutral. Stewards.
All right, we got to break it here. 713-780-3776 to get in here with us. Right now I'm talking about H&P. Those are my peeps over at H&P. They're here for you. They know their business. You know your business. You know what's making you successful. You know what's growing your business. Whatever you're growing. Your business is not payroll, okay? You don't know payroll as well as they do. You know your business, and you have grown it, and you have grown into 15, 25, 30, 40, 80 employees, whatever it is, and your business has grown. And, well, maybe you do have a payroll company. Maybe you're not completely satisfied with them. Maybe you think, maybe we should look at this thing to see whether or not this payroll company is as good and as economical as we think. Let H&P come in, take a look at your business, and tell you how they can save you money, okay? And listen, They're going to do payroll. They're going to do HR. They're going to help you with your taxes. But they ain't doing 401ks. They're giving you choices on that stuff. You know what? You still got the administrative stuff that they'll take care of, but they're not selling 401ks or insurance plans. That's not their business. Their business is making sure that you get your payroll and HR at the best cost they can possibly give you. This is happening every single day. Take a look at your business and see if you can save money. Oh, it all goes to the bottom line at HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
My daughter is listening.
Oh, I bet she's proud.
Yeah. She said, you know what my favorite part of this bit is? You're the one that picked us up from school. You made us snacks, and you cooked our dinner.
I know. So why do you act like a tough guy when you were the steward?
I was the steward.
Yeah, you're the flight attendant.
I was the steward of the family. Yeah.
With a cute little kerchief on. And
yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I made the sandwiches in our house, and I still do.
Why don't you be real? John, why don't you just be real?
I am being real.
Why don't you be real?
It's not an insult to me if you're the sandwich maker in the house. It's not an insult.
Well, maybe
I'm the sandwich maker in our house.
Well, maybe change the tone when you say sandwich maker. In fact, I don't know if a sandwich maker can sound positive at all.
It doesn't sound positive.
I'm a sandwich maker.
Maybe call
in our
yourself
house,
a caregiver.
And proud of it.
A homemaker.
I am.
How about that?
I am a homemaker. You're damn right. I made a wonderful home for our family.
There it is.
I cooked steaks for our family last night. I'm a wonderful homemaker. Yeah, that's right. And I don't think that it's an insult. Well, so whenever I say it about a woman, I'm complimenting her.
No, the way you say
No.
It doesn't sound positive when you say it.
So Keenan Allen said this at his press conference with the Bears as his acceptance speech. I only had like two teams that had interest, Jets and Houston. So they would have had to pay him $18.1 million this season in the final year of a four-year, $80 million contract. The Texans looked like they were willing to do that. They have like, I think it's like $19 million left, but they want to keep some. I can see why this trade with Keenan Allen didn't work out. I could, however, see something else happen. Or, at the very least, wide receiver is going to be a target in the draft.
For the Chargers or for the Texans? Texans? Oh, because for the Chargers, it has to be.
It has to be.
For the Texans, they know they need a wide receiver.
Yeah.
They don't have a third wide receiver. They don't have an outside guy. Even if you're on tank outside, which you're not going to do full time, who's the slot? Like, who's your third guy?
Is it
really Robert Woods? Is it Noah Brown? I feel like those are wide receiver 4 and 5. Robert Woods is a wide receiver 4 who right now would be forced into a 3. Noah Brown is a 5 who'd be forced into a 4. Like, yeah, it's not done. They're not done.
Yeah.
They're not done. They're going to draft a wide receiver. When? I don't know. Would you draft a running back now?
Yeah, later.
You'd still draft one?
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, were you surprised that they gave him an extension?
Yeah.
That came Friday, too, when we were off.
No, we talked
or was about it Thursday? Did we talk about it?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised
by
the extension.
That was very surprising. Very surprising.
You still have Damian Pierce on a rookie contract. That's fine. But you clearly had no confidence in him last year. You are going to have to get now I think they're going to get a veteran. I think they'll get a cheap veteran.
There will be somebody on the street.
There'll be a
that's
cheap
okay.
veteran, yeah, who they get. So I think they'll do that. They could draft running back, but you know, I think they really need to focus on adding to their safety spot. I don't think they're done at cornerback because you've got guys like I would hate to believe that they think that they have that Mike Ford and Jeff Okuda, one of those two are going to be starters at cornerback. That doesn't feel like we're done. Those guys should compete
At for four and a half time. Million, though?
Yeah, I know. That's, well, I know. I mean, aren't they both getting in that neighborhood?
I don't know the Ford's. I forget what Ford's.
I know Okuda is, but I wanted to say Mike Ford had something similar to that.
Whatever. Jeff Okuda getting $4.5 million tells me he's probably going to be a starter.
So it's a 4.5 2-year deal.
They're not spending a lot of money in their secondary right now. Petrie, rookie scale. Stingley, rookie scale. Okuda at 4.5 is not
still cheap.
A lot.
No, I mean, they could absolutely make cornerback.
No, Steven Nelson made more than that last year.
They could absolutely make cornerback one of their priorities. Yeah.
Need a tackle.
But by getting out
defensive
of pick
20, tackle.
Well, by getting out of pick 23, did that happen while we were on the air?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, by getting out of pick 23 and moving out of the first round. So at pick 23, there wasn't really a defensive tackle there. Like, it didn't really line up. There wasn't a wide receiver there because Brian Thomas is going to get off the board. There are guys you could have reached on a little bit. They actually in more of a position to draft the players of need. Like, a defensive tackle makes more sense with Minnesota's first pick of the second round. It actually makes more sense for the Houston. And Minnesota clearly is going to package, I think, two. And I talked to a quarterback coach over the weekend. Dude, he loves J.J. McCarthy. Loves J.J. McCarthy. He thinks, and this is, his team does not need a quarterback. And we went through all the quarterbacks, and he said, look, NFL people who are coordinators and position coaches, they're going to see things that he does that fans are not going to see in terms of, and he said this. I said, what is it specifically? I said, because I look at McCarthy, and I see good. I don't see great. A lot of fans don't see it. Media. He goes, here's what I see. He goes, he'll go through his progressions, and he knows you can tell he knows he has a high-low on the backside. And if he doesn't like the look he has on the front side with his first two, he'll go immediately to look three. And he said, that's a veteran move. And he was going through all this, and this stuff I never would have known. I never would have known any of this. He said he will get to checkdowns, and he said most people don't like it if you check down. Like, people look at it negatively. But when the coverage, when your play call against the coverage is not going to give you a look, it's better to get to the check down quicker so Blake Corum or Donovan Edwards can have some room to run against there. He said he'll get to a check down with a running back who's actually still in motion. Like, he started running through all these things. And then he talked about Bo Nix. He goes, Bo Nix had the best tape in Jaden Daniels without question. But Bo Nix is a good player. He's smart, doesn't have the juice in the arm, blah, blah, blah. He's going to be a good. Now, here's the difference. Here's what he said. And this is what you say when you're a team guy. He's going to be a good rotational starter who will eventually become a really good backup in the league. That's just an honest assessment. That's not trying to jackhammer a guy into the first round because teams, that's how he sees that quarterback. And you know what? If you think about it, that's how these guys are. Look at the 2021 draft. Look at the 2022 draft with Malik Willis and Matt Corral and Kenny Pickett. A disaster. 21 turning into a disaster.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of backups.
Yeah.
And we've got a gap because of the 22 draft and the 21 draft. We're now because all these are misses, we're starting to have a bigger gap again about, hey, it's a lot more teams need quarterbacks than we thought they were going to. We thought a lot of guys had New England's got to figure it out. They got Mac Jones. We said that at one time. Okay, Justin Fields is there. Trey Lance is there. You know, Zach Wilson's in New York. We'll see what happens. Trevor Lawrence, no problem. It looked like all these teams had solved their quarterback problems. Not even
none
close.
Of them. I don't even think Jaguars have solved their problem. Who is that that's on there, Gilbert?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Because I was out there, and Lexi goes, hi, Gilbert. When she's answering phones, and I just looked at her, and she just kind of smiled and looked at me knowingly as somebody who has taken many, many calls from Gilbert.
Time to talk about QC of Kinetics.
QC Kinetics. You hear a lot of the recorded spots from former athletes, Bobby Carpenter, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, when it comes to QC Kinetics, what they do is they work for and with people who have chronic joint pain, the arthritis that sets in. I mean, when you're waking up in the middle of the night because you really can't get much sleep because you're so, you know, you're in so much pain, you're woken up by your pain in your, you know, in your knee or in your wrist or in your back, your shoulder, your hip, it's no good. The first thing you're going to look for is a new bed to make sure you get the comfort and support that you need. And then you're saying it's still not making any difference and it's hurting throughout the day. the chances are you would really benefit with QC Kinetics. What they do is they take the body's healing power, they extract it, they concentrate it, they put it back into your joints, and the difference is astonishing. The inflammation begins to subside. You start to regrow and regenerate damaged or lost tissue in that joint. That's what causes so much of the pain. And once your pain has subsided, and that happens after a single treatment, you could get better after two. Many people are all the way better to where their pain has reduced substantially and their mobility improves and they're doing things that they love to do outdoors. Make sure that you have my friends from QC Kinetics on your side. Go to QCKinetics.com. Find one of the four locations near you. It's QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5.